Nevertheless, I am excited to be up here and be able to bring you guys the word, as always. I want to share with you guys some things from my heart this morning. I always get excited when I get to bring the word, but that's especially the case this morning because I kind of feel like I get to share and pour out my heart with you guys a little bit. I love when God will use like the smallest things to make a big difference in your life. And for me, as I was getting this message together, that's kind of been one of those things for me because he's really refreshed me through this message, and I hope he does the same thing to you guys, and I hope that I can bring it to you how God gave it to me. So today we're going to be really in two sections of Scripture. We're going to break down Jacob, and we're going to be first and foremost in Genesis 35. To encourage you guys to follow along in your Bibles, Bible apps, whatever you got this morning. There's a slideshow, but like I said last time, that's cheating. You've got to bring your Bible. So we are going to read about Jacob. And in this passage, Jacob has just about come to the end of his road. He's almost 100 years old at this point in time, and he's gone through a lot of stuff in his life, a lot of blessings, but he's also carried a lot of burdens. And he's fought a lot of battles, and here God gives him an instruction to return to a place that he's already been before. So Genesis 35, and we'll start in verses 1 through 7. We won't end there for sure, but we'll get going here. So Scripture says, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.' So Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, 'Get rid of all of your foreign gods that you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I've gone.' So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak of Shechem." We'll stop there briefly. How many of you know that before you move forward into what God is calling you into, sometimes you have to bury some things in your past? Right? You have to bury some things that that you've been holding on to. There's some stuff that you need to do away with, some areas of your life that God wants to strip away, things that aren't helping you, things that aren't serving you, some things that are enslaving you. And this is a perfect example of where many of us may find ourselves. God is telling us where to go in our lives, but before we move forward, we have to get rid of some of the stuff from our past to move forward to where God wants us to be. And that's what's going on here. Jacob is saying, before we move on to Bethel, where God is calling us, we need to get rid of all this other junk. So they dump off all their stuff, and in verse 5 it says this: "Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on all the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them." The people recognized the presence of God on these people. "Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz," that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. It was called Luz the first time that Jacob went there because, like I said, this was a return visit. And while Jacob was there the first time, he experienced something and he renamed it based upon what he saw when he opened his eyes to the presence of God in that place. So it was called Luz, but is now called Bethel. "And there he built an altar and he called the place Bethel because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother." I want to use this passage of Scripture today to talk to you guys just for a few minutes about when God shows up in the middle of nowhere. When God shows up in the middle of nowhere. When he shows up in the middle of nowhere. And I think that this is really going to minister to somebody who is in transition or who is in trouble this morning. Because Jacob was in both of those predicaments. Both times that he went to Bethel, actually. So he was in transition in Genesis 28, the first time that he went to Bethel. He was running from his brother Esau. You saw it in the text, running for his life. A fugitive headed to his uncle Laban's house where he'd never been before. And in chapter 35, some family dysfunction that's almost too graphic to describe, but it's put in the Bible so that we can read it, has landed him once again leaving, headed for a place called Bethel for a return visit. Again, I want to speak to you guys who might be in transition or who may be in trouble, and I want to speak to you about what happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere. When I worked as a delivery guy, when I worked as a delivery guy for Rent-A-Center, I had a lot of cool opportunities to speak with a lot of different types of people. And in a lot of different situations, it kind of felt like I was stepping into their world when I was doing these deliveries, because we would go into their house and we'd see, you know, different types of decorations and different knickknacks and different collectibles and things like that. And I remember a specific delivery. It was a refrigerator delivery up here by Marshfield. We went out, and the job was that we were going to get their old refrigerator out of their house and we're going to put the new refrigerator in. But they didn't expect us so early. And so when we came in, they still had all the stuff all over their fridge. They had, you know, kids' drawings and bills and things like that. But what really stuck out to me on their fridge was that they had all these different postcards from different countries on there. And one of them was Spain. And I've always taken a liking to Spain because my dad actually got the opportunity to do a mission trip to Spain. And I've seen all the pictures and seen all the things that he did, and it's always kind of sparked something in my heart. So I said, well, hey, that's kind of cool. My dad's been to Spain. Are these postcards places that you have been in your life? You know, places that you traveled? And he said, no, I've been to a lot of places, but these are actually places that I've never been before, because I like to keep my eyes on where I'm going, not on where I've been. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, he's got some goals and some things that he wants to do in his life. But then I thought about it really as we were leaving. And I thought, well, is that really cool? Because, you see, he has these goals and he has these aspirations. But is there nothing that you've done in your life, no places that you've been to in your life that are good enough to put up there with those aspiration places? Right? Because it seems kind of like it's good that you have aspirations and goals, but it seems like it would be less interesting and exciting when you get to where you're going if it's just another thing to throw off your refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You guys are quiet this morning. It's good that you have aspirations and goals and things like that, but there hasn't been any places that you've been that are worth putting up there alongside those aspiration places. We, as humans, we're so destination-driven. We're focused on what we're going to do and where we're going to go, and it just seems like we always want to be anywhere but where we are. And what can happen in your life is that you can be so destination-driven that you actually arrive exactly where you want it to be, and you don't even know that you made it. I've come to announce this morning that you may have made it, but you don't even know it yet. I remember it must have been probably about a year or so ago. Veronica and I were sitting at our last house, and we were watching a movie. And as we were watching this movie, our old house was a pretty open concept. So from the living room, you could see, you know, the dining room and the kitchen and the entryway. And we were sitting there watching this movie, and I was just looking around at the things that were in our house. I saw, you know, our dining room set and my recliner over in the corner and the TV that we were watching and the couches that we were sitting on. And as I was looking at all these things, it kind of took me back to a place where when we first just got married in our first house. And all that we had was this old, super, really, really heavy box TV, you know, and it barely worked. And we didn't have enough money to get a TV stand, so it was kind of just sitting on this little shelving unit that I probably shouldn't have been sitting on because it was too heavy. And we were sitting in our camping chairs in our living room because we didn't have enough money to afford furniture. And we were eating our 89-cent pot pies because we didn't really have enough money to get anything, you know, super fancy for dinner. And so we were just, you know, living the good life in our first home when we first got married. And as we were watching this movie in our last house, I was looking around at all these things. And as I was thinking about that time when we first got married, I was kind of just filled with a lot of gratitude. A lot of gratitude because God has been really, really good. Really, really faithful to me and Veronica. He's given us three beautiful children. He's given us a home that we own. He's given us the money to fill up this home with the things that we need and given us really good jobs. And he just continues to bless us over and over and over again. And so as I was sitting in that moment, I was just filled with gratitude. Is this moment in our lives the end all be all? No. But sometimes it's good to see what you've been through, to appreciate the things that you've learned and gathered, and to appreciate how good God has been in your life, right? Amen? We sang about it this morning, the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. Not right now you're faithful. Not in the future I hope you're faithful. All my life you have been faithful. It's great that we aren't complacent, and it's great that we have something that we're working towards, but sometimes you just got to stand in the middle. Sometimes you have to stand where you don't ultimately want to be, and praise God from the middle. When you feel like you're going nowhere, and when you feel like nothing is happening, and when you look around at what others have compared to what you have, and it doesn't feel like it's very much, praise God in the middle of nowhere. Let me just ask this question before we move on real quick. By a show of hands, not in terms of actual places, but in terms of your life and your relationship with God, have you guys ever felt like you were in the middle of nowhere, and then God met you there and walked you through? Yes, pretty much just about everybody, right? When you feel like, you know, I was lost in my sin, I was lost in my confusion, my selfishness, my lust, but God reached out and he pulled me out of that pit and out of that nothingness and gave me a firm place to stand. People always say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't find Jesus. You weren't even looking for Jesus. Jesus was never lost, right? Jesus was never hiding. You didn't find Jesus. You weren't even looking for him. but he pulled you out of the muck. He pulled you and snatched you out of nowhere. The people who have the best time worshiping and praising and digging into the word are the same exact people who realize God was the one who pulled them out of the muck and pulled them out of the pit. I read this the other day, and it really stood out to me, where Jacob was praying one time in Genesis 32:10 and said this: "I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness that you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps." I don't think that there's a verse in the Bible that I can relate with more than that one right there, right now, right this second. I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness that he has shown me. I had very little, and he's provided for me time and time again. The first time Jacob went to Bethel, getting back to the scripture, he was all alone with nothing but a stick in his hand. But then he said, "Now I have become two camps." And so he goes back to Bethel. And Bethel is that place for Jacob where God showed up in the middle of nowhere. I want to show you the first account of Jacob in Bethel in chapter 28. Because to understand where somebody is, you have to understand where they came from. And Jacob in chapter 28 is running from his brother Esau, like we read, because Esau wants to kill him for stealing his birthright and his blessing. So Jacob in chapter 28, we'll start in verse 10. Just to give you a little bit of context here, this is 21 years before the events of Genesis 35 that we just read in the beginning. 21 years before the events that we read at the beginning. It says in verse 10, "Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran." Doesn't seem that important, but that alone is an important verse. Because he left his home and his place of comfort, and he went to a place that he had never been to seek safety with his uncle. And it was there that he set out and saw God like he had never seen him before. Did you know that God will show up in the transitional moments of your life? God will show up in the unsure moments of your life, in the confusing moments of your life, the how did I get here and where am I going moments of your life. And maybe some of you guys are even there today. I'm there today. This has been a year full of transition for me and my wife and my kids, a year full of transition. It's still a year full of transition. I'm living this message right now. It's speaking to me personally. I'm not just talking to you guys. This is a message for me too. I'm living this right now. But I'm here to tell you that God will show up in the middle of nowhere. He will meet you in the middle of nowhere. When you don't know where you're going and you can't go back to where you came from, God says, "I'll meet you in the middle of nowhere with only a staff in your hand." He will bless you in the in-between places. And I'm excited about this because it says in verse 11, when he reached a certain place, excuse me, Jacob is on his journey. He's on the run, and it doesn't even say where he is. Okay? This is just a layover. I want to point that out to you guys. It doesn't even say where he was at. I remember many years ago now, we took our youth group trip to Chicago. And it was the first and only time that I've ever flown. And I remember on the trip back from Chicago, we went from Chicago to Arizona, from Arizona to Portland, and then we drove from Portland back home. And so we had this little layover in Arizona, and we were there for quite a while. And to this day, if somebody asks me, where are the places that you've been in your life? I'll say, you know, I've been in, obviously, Oregon, Washington, California, Idaho, Chicago, but I will never mention Arizona because Arizona didn't count because I just had a layover there. I didn't do anything. It was hot and it was miserable and I just wanted to catch my plane and get back home because I was tired because the flights were long. I won't count Arizona because nothing ever happened. It was just a layover. And that's kind of what's happening here. It's just a layover. It didn't matter. So it says that he was in a certain place. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And you're about to see Jacob have one of the most profound visions of God in the whole Bible. But it happened in the middle of nowhere. The sun had set, and he got tired, so he takes a stone, and he puts it under his head, and he goes to sleep. That's terrible for your spine, by the way, right? We just read through the message, or through the Bible. That's terrible for your spine. So he takes a stone, he puts it under his head, he goes to sleep, and then he has a dream. Goes to sleep in the middle of nowhere with nobody, just a staff in hand in a place that he hasn't ever been before, in a place that hasn't even been named yet. He doesn't even know where he is at this point, and he has a dream, and in this dream he sees a stairway resting on the earth, and its top was reaching to heaven. And it says that there was divine activity going up and down the staircase. And in verse 13 it says, "There above it stood the Lord." God is always above whatever situation you're in. I'm going to say that again. God is always above every situation that you're in. And he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." The place that you're passing through right now, I will give to you as a promise and as a sign of your inheritance, because I am the Lord and I am in this place. And he keeps making these promises to Jacob. It says in verse 14, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And then in verse 16, it says that Jacob woke up from his sleep, and he thought, dude, this is trippy, right? Has this awesome dream, the staircase, God is speaking, angels coming up and down the staircase. He's thinking, this is trippy. And then he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Wasn't planning on stopping here. This wasn't on my itinerary. I just found a rock and went to sleep because it was the best place that I could find. But surely the Lord is in this place. Verse 17, he was afraid. Of course he was. He was running for his life. He doesn't know where he is. And he just saw angels coming up and down a staircase. And they said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Oil always represents what? The Holy Spirit, the presence of God. In the New Testament, it represents the Spirit of God. And verse 19 says, he called that place Bethel, which means, check this out, the house of God and the gate of heaven. Though the city used to be called Luz. Loserville. Nowhere. In the place where Jacob was just passing through, God made him a promise and revealed his presence. Why? Because God will show up in the middle of nowhere when you're down to nothing and you have nobody and say, I am with you. You may not have people, but you have my presence. You may not have possessions, but you have my presence and my promise. God said, I know this place used to be called Luz. Jacob said, I know that this place used to be called Luz, but it ain't that anymore, because surely the Lord is in this place. You know, you can rename any situation, anything that you're walking through. You can rename it. So you can go from calling it a setback to a set up, right? Some of you need to take naming rights over your situations. Some of you need to take naming rights over the things that you're going through. Because we're always so focused on, oh man, I'm going through a setback. I'm going through a hard time. You can take naming rights over the situation that you're in when you know that the Holy Spirit is always with you. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. That's Genesis 28. But we didn't finish what we started. I just wanted to give you that so that I could show you this. When Jacob went back to Bethel, that's when the deepest encounter with God happened in his life. So for the remainder of our time, I want us to go back to Bethel with Jacob. You guys okay with that? God said, I'll bring you back to this land that you're lying on. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. I'll fight for you. And 21 years later, Jacob goes back to Bethel. What's the bottom line for today? The bottom line is this. You need to go back to Bethel. You need to go back to Bethel. Go back to the place in the middle of nowhere where God met you and brought you out of nothing. Tell the person next to you or the person behind you or in front of you, we're going back to Bethel. Say it this morning. You're going back to Bethel. You got to learn to go back to Bethel in your heart on the way to where God is taking you that you haven't arrived yet. You've got to learn to go back, and that's what Jacob did. It's what God told him to do. He said, go back to the place in the middle of nowhere where I met you. Three things that Bethel represents. And that'll be out of your hair this morning. Three things that Bethel represents. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to take these down. Number one, Bethel is a place of remembrance. A place where you remember how God set up shop in your desperate situations of your life and made a way through the wilderness. We're going back to Bethel today because we need to remember some things. One of the most often repeated commands in the entire Bible is remember. Remember. We're always wanting to learn something new, but sometimes the key to where we're going and who we're becoming is not something that we need to learn, but rather something that we need to remember, that we've already seen or already experienced. God tells Jacob, I know that you're 100 years old. I know you've experienced some things, but go back to Bethel. The history of this church is really, really awesome to me. It may not matter to anybody else. But for me, I can remember when we were meeting in an old, run-down, beat-up building in Bandon. I remember when every Saturday I would have to go to Bandon and take these trips with my parents so that we could run multiple dehumidifiers in the sanctuary just so that the people could breathe the next day. I remember sitting in service, and I remember as my dad was giving a sermon, hearing the roof go all the way off of the building and having to stop the service early so that we could go put tarps out so that water would stop running into our light fixtures. I remember that. I remember because of that, we had to relocate for a certain amount of time, and we had to relocate to the community center in Bandon, which coincidentally was called the Barn, right? Our church was born in the barn. So I remember that. I remember going to the barn week after week, and I remember having to set up our music stands and our music and everything, and I remember having to tear it down every week, and I remember because of that, all of our music stuff was getting tore up. I remember meeting in the VFW hall, which also happened to be a bar. Jesus in a bar, right? The middle of nowhere. We're in a VFW hall. We're in a bar. And the people next door are coming for whatever they're coming for. Their alcohol. They're coming because they're sad. They're coming because of whatever. And they're hearing our worship music. I remember that. I remember relocating our church from Bandon to Coos Bay to 2nd Street. And all the awesome things that God did through the 2nd Street building. And all the words that he spoke and the things that he did. And setting up where we're at right now. I remember that. I remember when we left 2nd Street, and you're saying, Josh, why are you going through all this? Well, just stick with me here a minute, okay? Let's go on a trip, okay? Let's go on a trip back to Bethel in this church. I remember after we left 2nd Street and we were on a high, I remember it all coming crashing back down because we had to start meeting in the senior center, and had to start meeting in the North Bend Community Center, and we were bouncing all around, and we never knew week by week where we were going to be meeting, and things were getting a little bit desperate because the numbers and the attendance were dropping, and the money that was coming into the church was dropping. And I remember us sitting back and thinking, man, maybe this church ain't going to make it. Maybe this building that we just bought, we're not even going to be able to get into this building because we're not going to make it. I remember that. I remember getting into this building. I remember the first service that we had was actually not even a Sunday morning service. It was a Thursday night service where we just came to worship and praise and thank God for providing time and time and time and time again for this church. See, because in all of that, even when we're sitting back and we're saying, man, I don't know if this church is going to make it, God was still saying, I have a plan for you guys. I have a plan for this church. I have a focus. I have a purpose for this church, and it will be seen. I will see it through. See, I remember all those times. And sometimes when we're up here and we're doing our worship, God takes me back to Bethel. God takes me back to that place in Bandon. God takes me back to that place in the VFW hall, and he says, I've still got a purpose for this church. And I'm excited to see it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited to see what God continues doing through this church, because he's done some awesome, awesome, awesome things, but he's going to keep doing them. Amen. So God, sometimes he takes me back to Bethel in my mind as we're up here and we're going through worship. See, and that's what's going on with Jacob here. God says, go back to Bethel and say, look what God has done. It's a place of remembrance. Remember how he met you in the middle of nowhere. Jacob was in a place that he'd never been, going to a place that he'd never been. He's in the middle of nowhere, and God blesses him. And he says in verse 16, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. I'm not sure about where I am. I'm not sure about where I'm going. But surely the Lord is, present tense, in this place, and was, past tense, not aware of it. He is here. I guess you could say he's still here. After all you've been through, after all we've been through, God is still here. In times where you would have even given up on you, he's still here. He's still good. He's still a good God. See, I love about Jacob is in chapter 28. He's talking about how the Lord is in this place, and that's cool and that's great. But by the time he goes back to Bethel, in chapter 35, you're going to love this. In chapter 35, it's been 21 years, and he's been through some things. And the Bible says that he's limping. He's literally limping into Bethel. Okay? First time he came into Bethel, he was running from his brother Esau, full of energy, running from his brother. But the second time, he's limping because of what he's been through. Bethel is a place of remembrance, but it's also, and this is number two if you're taking notes, Bethel is a place of remembrance, but it's also a place of revelation. Bethel is a place of revelation because it was there in the middle of nowhere. Here's the revelation. Jacob went back to Bethel, limping because of the things that he's been through, where he had been 21 years earlier, where he was running for his life. And listen to what it says in Genesis 35:3. It says, then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in my day of distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. In Genesis 28, Jacob said, the Lord is in this place. But now Jacob has journeyed full circle and he realizes that God wasn't just in that place. He was with me every step of my life. He's been with me through it all. The presence of God is not a place. It's a person. And he's with you wherever you go. That's good news this morning. That's why Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. Jacob says, I see it now. My eyes are opened. I've been through some things. I've had some blessings. I've fought some battles. But God was with me in the middle of it all. What happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere? I'm going to show you guys. Let me show you guys. Right, we got middle of nowhere here. Let me erase this. What happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere? What happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere? He says he's a very present help in my time of trouble. When God shows up in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of hopelessness, in the middle of your hurt, in the middle of your depression, in the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of your addiction, when God shows up in the middle of all of that, you open your eyes to realize that he is now here. He is now here. He is an ever-present, ever-faithful, ever-loving God. And he is here now. He's here now. Surely the Lord is in this place. He was here all along, and now I see it. He's now here. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not lost. He shows up in the middle of nowhere so that you can see that he is now here. So Bethel is a place of remembrance, and it's a place of revelation, but church is also this. Bethel is a place of response. A place of response. And we're going to end with this, so just track with me for maybe 3 to 4 more minutes, okay? Stick with me for just a little bit longer. Bethel is a place of response. The first time Jacob went to Bethel, he was running. He was running really good. But by the time he came back, he was limping. The first time he was making deals with God. See, I told you about the vision that Jacob had the first time, but I didn't tell you about the contract that he tried to make with God. The deals that he tried to make with God. I didn't tell you about the vow that he made. After God had appeared to Jacob the first time, he went to Bethel. It says this in Genesis 28:20. This cracks me up. It says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear. He's making a contract with God here. Do you guys see that? He's a negotiator. It's what he does. Making deals. If God will, so that I can return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. I want to show you this and then I'm done. When he went back to Bethel, limping, blessed but also broken, it's a little bit different. Because the second time he went, when he went back, in Genesis 35:14, it says this. Jacob set up a stone, a pillar at that place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. The first time Jacob was doing all the talking, right? He was trying to control everything, trying to negotiate, trying to say, God, if you'll do this for me, I will do this for you. First time he's doing all the talking, but now Jacob's been through some things. See, we live our lives wanting to negotiate with God, wanting to tell God the things that we want to do and the life that we want to live and the places that we want to go, and sometimes we get to do those things. Sometimes we don't. But when Jacob came back, it's no longer the place where he's talking with God. It's the place where God was talking to him. So Jacob doesn't say a word this time. He simply builds an altar in a place called Bethel. And when you and I think of altars, right, we think of the nice furniture at the front of the church, maybe a pad in front of it so that our knees don't get scuffed up, right? But that's not what it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, what the altar was a place of sacrifice to acknowledge the God who had given it all to them. And when it says Jacob built an altar, it represents a sacrifice. It talks in Romans about how we are to offer, in view of God's mercy, ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's a response, right? It's time for you to build an altar in Bethel in your heart today. To take a good look at how far God has brought you. To open your eyes. See, God didn't show up in Bethel when Jacob got there. He was there all along waiting for Jacob to get there. To open up his eyes and see that he was there all along. All along, amen? I'm going to end with this rhetorical question. Will you open your eyes to him today and respond? Because Bethel is a place of remembrance. Bethel is a place of revelation. And Bethel is a place of response. We need to go back to Bethel Church. We need to go back and realize the things that God has brought us through. We need to go back and understand the goodness of God before we get to where God is calling us in our lives. We need to understand all the things that he's brought us through. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for every person that's here, every person that's watching online. I thank you for this message. Father God, in my own personal life, God, I thank you for speaking to me in my time of transition through this message. And God, I pray that you would use this message to speak to every single person that's here this morning. Whether they're in a time of transition and trouble or whether they're not, God, I pray that this would be a seed planted in their heart so that when they are in a time of transition, God, that they will be able to apply this. God, I pray that this will not just be another word, but it would be something that we take with us as we leave this morning. God, that it would be planted inside of our lives so that we could come back to this in times of transition. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done in my life, all the good things, God. You're a good, good God. I want to focus on that, God. I thank you. I thank you for everything that you've done for me. I thank you for all the opportunities, for all the times that you brought me out of the pit, for all the times that you provided. And God, I faithfully walk with you, God. I faithfully walk with you, and I thank you, God. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. I pray that as we move on this week, God, that you would continue to walk with us and talk with us and be with us no matter where we're at, that you would continue to pour out your favor and your blessing. And Lord, we just love you, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You guys be blessed.